Back on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by our friends over at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Road. Let's talk some Brownies football as they look to try to get back on track this week, coming off a tough one in Vegas to the Raiders. Now they'll head to the nation's capital to take on the Commanders this Sunday at 1 o'clock as we are joined by longtime sportscaster John Tellitz. JT, a pleasure as always to be joined by you, my friend. And let's quickly talk about that Raiders game, as there were certainly some things that went right, not enough things to go right in order to get the win. But maybe we could start with Deshaun Watson, because in my opinion, and I think the opinion of a lot of other fans as well, that was maybe one of his better games in a Browns uniform. Problem is, they didn't get the win.
They didn't get the win, and I would agree with that assessment that of the many games that he's played 15 of them. He's 8-7, by the way, 18 touchdowns and 12 picks. Over the course of his Browns career. I thought that was one of his better games. There were times where he was sensing the rush and able to escape and throw on the run. He made the great throw to Cooper that obviously Cooper dropped over the middle. He made the great throw to Cooper for what could have been the go-ahead touchdown, and we know the penalty on Harris took that back. So, all by and large, you know, if you want to pin a lot of the maladies of the offense on him, I think that's a little unfair this week. There's other weeks it would be very much appropriate to pin a lot of the blame on him. But also, towards the end of the game, and we're always going to live in the land now with social media of frozen freeze frames of plays where, see, he's open. Oh, you missed this guy over there. We're going to live in that land. I think if you're paid $230 million and it's all guaranteed, and you're the guy that they gave up three big picks and other picks as well, when the game's on the line, just, you know, need to complete that play. You got to be able to make that play. And again, going back to the theme, Rocco, of other people contributing, it sure looked like when they came out of that timeout, in that final drive, they didn't do themselves any favor when the center hiked the ball before the quarterback was ready.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know whose blame that is. It just happened. And so you can't come out of a timeout and do that. And so, something to work on there. But the thing staring at you in the face is a 1-3 record with other teams in your division playing well. And, you know, maybe there's hope on the horizon with other guys coming back. We'll see.
Yeah, and what was supposed to be the quote-unquote easier part of the Browns' schedule, it has been anything but that through these first 4 weeks. And you can lob this Commanders game in there as well. They're 3-1,
right,
but we'll get to them here in a minute. I also want to ask about Nick Chubb. As we record this on a Wednesday, the plan was for him to be at practice on Wednesday. Again, as we record right in this moment, we don't know if that ended up happening or not, but let's maybe assume it does. And as we kind of maybe look at the timeline for his return, we don't know exactly when that'll be, but man, that'll be a huge boost for this offense, for the locker room as a whole, for the fans, everybody, to see number 24 back in uniform.
Yeah, they go into like a 21-day window, so conceivably sometime within that frame, he can be activated and be able to play. That, of course, none of us standing here on Wednesday or even later this week can predict that. We can certainly make assumptions that he'll be back before the window is up. But then again, if you say he's going to be back in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you're kind of just rolling the dice, as it were, and just hoping that you're correct. I think the date that he comes back more than likely would be in the latter part of the window. But when he steps on that field with that uniform on, I can't even imagine what kind of a boost it would be for the team just to see number 24 in uniform. That alone would be certainly something that can help this team, which needs every kind of advantage you can get now.
Any thoughts on the Mike Hall Jr. situation? It was, what, a five-game suspension ends up getting announced. He's already missed the first four, so as I was reading, it looks like he'll be eligible to return after this Sunday's game against the Commanders. Is that a big deal, no deal at all? How do we kind of look at that?
Well, I think he wasn't a guy that they penciled in to be a super full-time contributor on their defensive line this year.
Mm-hmm.
Work him in. So okay, 4 weeks in, one more week, and then after that, he's able to come back. But we can also say here's an individual who pleaded no contest on the misdemeanor domestic violence charge that was levied at him. And so if the Browns feel he is going to be, you know, the kind of an individual they can count on going down the road, well, then in the long play, then this is something that they can overcome, obviously. Get him on the field as a football player. He's a real good player, and he's able to give that you that pressure, that pass rush from the inside, and that's a little bit more versatility to your defensive line. So by and large, after the Commanders game, I would expect, unless Stefanski's got something else up his sleeve, or Barry for that matter, that we would see him against the Eagles in Philadelphia in the next game for the Brownies.
Again, talking Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Again, joined by longtime sportscaster John Telich. JT, thoughts on the defense at this point? Concerns with that side of the football through these first 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think there's been instances where the tackling hasn't been very good. They've been able to have the ball run on them. This happened this past week. And I think they've got to shore up that side of the football in terms of game in and game out, being able to be in space and to make their tackling a little bit more sure, if you will. They can't live on this, oh, one of the top defenses in the league, or last year they were the best. Any of those monikers that they want to put on this football team due to past history is not appropriate. Right now, they could be playing better. They did get a defensive takeaway that resulted in a score. That's great. I'd love to see more defensive takeaways, and certainly if they're going to have a defensive takeaway and that results in points, obviously that'd be the way to go. But we need to see more of that. But I think in open space, being able to make sure tackles, they need a little bit of work as far as that is concerned. I mean, they didn't give up a boatload of offense, but they gave up enough, and they lost the football game by a short margin, and the rest is history.
So let's talk about these Washington Commanders, JT. They are 3-1, maybe one of the more surprising teams in the league right now. You look at rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. He was NFC Offensive Player in the Week for his Week 3 performance in one of their big wins. And their offense in general has been clicking in big fashion through these first couple weeks of the season. Kind of the opposite of the Browns, still trying to, you know, work their way to getting over 20 points on a consistent basis. So, again, we looked at this schedule early on in the season. I think you might have looked at this one and said, okay, Brownie should go in there and get a win, but I don't know if people are so sure about that now, considering the different start for these two teams.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, with the Browns, it's like they went out and got another deep offensive coordinator in Dorsey, and you're just not certain that things are clicking with what they want to do per his leadership on the offensive side of the football versus what's happening on the field. But then when you go to the Commanders, you've got the specter of Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, which we all know had that stint as a head coach in AZ. He had his revenge game last week, obviously, and he's just done a spectacular job with this kid. And this kid has looked so polished, so sure of himself, so in command for being just, you know, 4 weeks, one full month into his pro career. It's really impressive. Roughly 80% of his passes completed. Last week, 26 of 30. The week before, he was 21 of 23 against the Bengals. You want a high-scoring game? He can provide it for you. If you want to play a little bit more, you know, the check down game, or maybe you take off and run every so often when it's necessary, he can get that for you as well. He's got enough weapons in McLaurin, who's one of the best receivers in football, kind of one of the unheralded real good receivers, Ertz as a tight end, and, of course, a good enough running game to keep them going. So this will be a huge test, Rocco, and I know I'm 0 for 4, and last week, literally on a stab, I said, I'm going with the Browns. I don't care if they're in Vegas, and I don't care if it's on the road or whatever. I've just got to kind of twist my thinking around. This week I'm going Washington, 24-20.
All right, book it. JT thinks a Washington Commander win is incoming, but if history is any kind of indication here in 2024, with our predictions on this segment, that could lead to a Browns victory. I don't know. We'll see how things play out, but I tease you, JT. Again, Browns at Washington this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Brownies looking to get their second win of the season against a red-hot Washington Commanders football team. We'll see how that plays out. All right, JT, let's quickly move on to the high school football front as this season, again, continues to just barrel right along. We're heading into week 7 now. Our games are here on WEOL. We got some good ones, a couple in the SWC, Midview at North Ridgeville on the radio. We'll head out to Olmsted Falls on stream 2 as Amherst looks to rebound there after taking their first loss of the week, or loss of the year last week against Avon Lake. JT, we'll have your Euclid Ball Club over at Brunswick on our stream 3 game, but some fantastic games around the rest of the area as well. And I know I will have my eyes on that Walsh and Hoban matchup down there in Summit County.
Absolutely, Rocco. You know, we look at this stage of the season now, as you said, we're 6 games going on 7. And here's a list of the teams in Northeast Ohio. And I'm not going all the way down to the Stark County area. We'll just stay north of there. But Avon, Wadsworth, Walsh, Mentor, Aurora, Lake Catholic, Gilmore, Streetsboro, Highland, Nordonia, Kirtland, all those teams are 6-0, which is impressive. And then a team that's got several losses pulled off one of the bigger wins last week. That would be the Glenville Tar Blooders edging St. Ed's at Baldwin Wallace by a 28-27 count. Yeah. But this week, you've certainly got two real high-profile games, one with a pair of teams that are really outstanding down there in Summit County area. It's your Walsh Warriors taking on Hoban. That's going to be a fabulous game. That is at Walsh. Maybe you can you've retired the jersey of Vrabel. Maybe there's some other. Maybe his helmet. Could you retire his helmet, get him back there to be on the sidelines to give you a little bit of a boost? We'll see what happens with that. That will be a fun game to watch. And then in the Holy War taking place this Friday night, Ed's and Ignatius. And I'm really curious to see that. Now, certainly Ed's is, you know, coming off multiple state championships. They're still one of the top teams in Division I in the state of Ohio. We'll see what happens if Ignatius can, jump up a level with their play and make this a real interesting game, or even sneak one against the Ed's football team. We will see with that. Some other things to look at. Kirtland, I don't know if many people are aware, but their outstanding quarterback, Jake Laverty, he broke his wrist.
Yeah.
And last week when they had a runaway win in their game against Fairview, and that's really unfortunate. I really doubt here after 6 games with a long playoff season still in the offing that he's going to be able to suit up the rest of this year. And that's unfortunate because he's such an amazing talent. I love to watch that kid play football. And but his father and the gang over there at Kirtland, they coach him up very, very well. And it's such a great program. It is going to be interesting to see how they weather the storm, if you will, not having Jake Laverty. Villa Angela St. Joe's suffered their first loss last week, Rocco, and that was to the Erie McDowell team. But VASJ is still loaded with all that talent with Bo Jackson and company. We'll see how they go down the rest of the way. Some of the other interesting things that happened in week 6 that maybe will set the stage for the rest of the season, Strongsville, great win against Cleveland Heights. That was a real big win for them. And Kenston going to Chardon and beating Chardon. That was a very, very impressive. So we'll see what happens as far as that is concerned. And then coming up this week, Avon taking on Berea Mid Park. And Mentor, one of those 6-0 schools, same as Avon, of course, Mentor at Shaker. And Mentor is just having a great year. Their quarterback, Scotty Fox, is having a very, very good year. He's just a talented player. I think the people in Morgantown, West Virginia, will really love seeing this kid play when he goes down there to play college football.
I would agree with that. I got to see him, I don't even think it was last year. It might have been 2 years ago. I got to see one, maybe two of his games. It was probably one of the Medina games because that's one of our local Medina County coverage schools. But, man, right. You're spot on. he was dynamite, lights out. I think of a guy like Drew Aller as well at Medina that I saw. You could just tell he had that next-level capability, and I feel the same way about young Scotty Fox over there at Mentor. But, no, that's a great recap of Week 6, and, again, a fantastic Week 7 ahead. We'll see if my Walsh Warriors can keep that at least close against Hobart. I know we've had some marquee matchups with them the last couple of years that have gotten out of hand, so we'll see how that shakes out. But JT, a pleasure as always, my friend, for joining us here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. We'll see if the Brownies can get things done on Sunday in Washington against the Commanders, and we'll talk about it next week.
I look forward to it, and it all also goes without saying, all the best to that baseball team
yes.
that plays downtown Cleveland. They've got their first game on Saturday.